All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you once again for another opportunity, Father, to sit at our feet to hear thy word. Father, we pray that, Father, as we enter this next one prayer, Father, that it will change our hearts and minds and insights in the way we do things in prayer, Father. We ask you, Father, that we get into your presence, O God, that you show us real to us things we may not understand. Father, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm gonna pull a pop on you tonight. We start on chapter 8. Somebody give me something we talked about in chapter 7, Fitting Prayer. Hallelujah. Go over your notes too online. We're going over on something from chapter 7, Fitting Prayer we talked about. Whether we give me something we talked about. Because the assistance is going forward. We're not getting what we talked about last week. Go ahead. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Can't pray half-heartedly. Good. Go ahead. Amen. When you choose prayer, you'll be prayer. Perfect.
When you become a team prayer, nothing can flip up on you.
Amen. When you become a true prayer, he said, nothing can flip up on you. It's good.
When you're a prayer, you'll have an unbroken audience
to contain. Oh, man, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't care, Lord. Amen. One more. You must make a gesture, spend time in prayer. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know something. Hallelujah. We're going to start on praying men and personal purity in chapter 8. Praying men and personal purity. Chapter 8. All right. Now, before we get in there, there's some notes we must go over. The Holy Ghost gave us, we got to go over. Right? These are your note purposes. Prayer will open limited storehouses. Prayer will open limitless storehouses and will open God's hand. And he will withhold nothing from you. Prayer opens limitless storehouses. Notice I use the S, storehouses. What to do it? Prayer. And it will open God's hand, and he will withhold nothing from you. I want you to imagine if you have a child, or you got a niece or nephew, or someone you're close to as a child. And imagine that child, when they come home from work, school every day. When they come in from school, they'll grab them a snack, something to eat. When they finish that snack without you saying nothing, they'll wash the dish or throw the paper plate away and begin on their homework. They finish their homework, then they'll go in there and take a bath or a shower, and then grab another snack and watch television. After that, they go to school the next day. They make good grades. Go to the PTA meeting. Teachers say they're just an awesome child. Have no problem. They are just a helper, do whatever they ask. And one day now that child comes to you and says, Mama, Daddy, I want me an Xbox. You know it's going to be something big. Because that child has been so loving, so obedient, doing everything you ask, you have no problem going to your pocket or opening your hand. Well, that's how praying is with us with God. God knows that we're the kind of person that we just spend time with, get his presence, be dedicated, make that adjustment to get up into his presence. Now, when you begin to pray, and you begin to pray for personal things, God says, that's my child. They've been interceding for people. They've been interceding for their pastor. They've been interceding for their family. They got in my presence. They won't let. But now because they asked you something. Remember the thing we started with? Ask me. Now when he asks, he says, what you want? Come on now. What you want? And he says, he opens a limitless storehouses and in God's hand withholds nothing. In other words, there's nothing that he won't give to you. But he knows that you are a prayer. You see that? The second thing Holy Ghost gave him, you got to go with. He said, prayer would introduce us to a world of privileges. Look what over Daniel. Daniel was preferred. Remember that? That was a good thing. But prayer introduces to you a world of privileges and will bring strength and wealth into your life. Prayer introduces a world of privileges and it brings strength and wealth into your life. And watch this here. Prayer will touch heaven and heaven will come down to assist you in your everyday life. See, when you're a prayer man, we're going to get off deep into this thing. This part, when you are a prayer, when you touch heaven, good God Almighty, heaven hears your cry. Heaven hears your voice. And watch this. God would now intervene and send out all heaven to assist you in whatever you need. See, we talk about it, we hear people preach on it, but when you are a prayer, God would change things just for you. Look, he'll have a building built just for you. He'll have a job created just for you. He'll open a door that can't nobody else get in but you because you are a prayer. Assist you in your everyday life. God would touch you and come down to assist you in your everyday life. See, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but prayer is not just for like those guys that can make a glad they did, but you don't wait to pray when debt, distress, and discontentment hit. You, that's what we call prayer. That's not what prayer is for. Watch. You must have a fire when you pray. You must have a fire in you when you pray. Not the Ohio player. I think that's who that is. Fire. Not them. I'm trying to hold it with fire. You must have a fire in you when you pray. Why? Because without that fire, that's the tip. Prayer has no spirit. In other words, when there's no fire, it's just a casual prayer, and it's a prayer that is not bathed in divine fire. There's going to be a fire when you get into the presence of God. When you're trying to contact, I ain't talking about just, just hollering to be hollering and making no loud noise. That's not what I'm talking about. You can have a fire in you with a humble little voice. See, a lot of people get confused when you say a fire. No. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fire that's been up in you. But you can just look at you begin to speak with a silent voice at work. Lord, do something about this. Lord, touch it right now, Father. And people can sense something. You can feel it. You can pray in that prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Remember we talked about that? That when you are true prayer, even a sinner, they won't be around you because they know something different about you. And when you're a true prayer, it will expose people. Because I told you that earlier, because one mess is upon you when you're a prayer. When you pray and pray properly, you will touch heaven. Now watch this. When you touch heaven, heaven is now under obligation to carry out the ultimate, final, and glorious purpose of God. I'm going to say it again. When you pray and pray properly and touch heaven, heaven now is under obligation to carry out the ultimate, final, and glorious purposes of God. See, when you pray right, the ultimate goal, the final goal, and the glorious purpose of God has to go for your life. You hear what I said? I said, it got to show up. When you pray right. Whatever you believe in God for, whatever going on, heaven has to get involved and come down. That's what the earth devil we're talking about, and has to get involved in the situation. If that situation has not changed and it's still there, the prayer connection is not proper. Since heaven ain't got involved yet, watch this. I like what the Apostle said. Don't let a devil's delay turn into a what did I go?
Divine
delay turn into a devil's disappointment. See, so what happens is, it's not that God don't want you to have that thing, but the relationship that gives up strong enough to seek him like you should get. And so your relationship is not worthy to be in your prayer life. God said, no, I'm going to delay the thing because if I give it to you, you're going to kill yourself or somebody else with it. See, you could not have what the apostle has and don't have a relationship with God. No, I'm a pastor now that don't have what they have on Monday morning. They can't wait to get the golf course. I'm being honest with you because they think full-time ministry is Sunday religion. Can I guarantee y'all? Let's go ahead and be honest. Okay, here we go. I see it. I ain't scared. The average pastor, man of God, who's a full-time minister, many of them want to go on full-time ministry because they believe they will have a two-day work week. And the rest of the time, they can do what they want to do. But that's not what full-time ministry is for. If you are a full-time pastor, man or woman of God, your job now is to stay on your face before God because your people alive are in your head. And you need to hear from God, put this whole thing. That's what full-time ministry is. See, people want to do what the apostle does. Well, you got to do what the apostle do. Regardless where he is, what's going on, what vacation, what trip, he's in the presence of God. The other person could do it because you get your plane, you hit the football game somewhere. I'll try to be on TV. I didn't say nothing, you did. You thunk it. See, I was in Orlando last week. Glory to God. I'm holding the Holy Ghost. Because I lost it when the anointing hit when Pastor said this. He was dealing with some finances, and he made a statement. Some of y'all might have saw it. I heard it. He said the word. And the Spirit of God, he was talking about, you are, that's the night. I got finances to spend. You are all that. Man, that thing, just so why I just couldn't take it, boy. I couldn't take it. Well, as I was in the room, so reading, getting ready for this week as well, the Lord said, tell your class the same thing. When you begin to pray and pray properly, guess what you can start hollering? Because, let's back it up. When you pray properly, heaven now gets involved. The ultimate, the final, and glory comes of God, how do you feel in your life? When you're praying right. When you're praying properly. Look at this. We're going to start dealing with that a little bit. How are you going to do it, Lord? All right. In this day, at this time, we need praying men and women of God. That sounds minute, but we want to change the face of earth. This is what the apostle is doing with this school. The apostle is creating those of us who are connected to him to have an apostolic anointing. And you are going to be the one that's going to impact this world when we begin to understand, listen, all these things, Paul, look, oh, Jesus, when you begin to put all these things together, Lord, I wish I had this years ago when I first called myself trying to preach and pastor. Because I thought I was doing the right, I was doing all kinds of crazy stuff, man. Because I thought it was supposed to do. I did. I thought you were supposed to try to invite preachers in, the preachers in church, the biggest church and all that, but I didn't realize that they may come in to see them, but when they leave, guess what? The people leave them. You understand? I thought networking was the way you best ministry. The more people you know, but I found out that they don't want you. All right. But well, my point is, you are a group right now that's getting something. We're getting something. Not just you, we're getting something that will prepare you to another level. You have, man, think about the stuff you're getting right now. You're getting apostolic strategy. You're getting some of the people there. I mean, some of you have waves of revival, New Testament teaching, breakthrough thinking, and all of the lines of honor with me, and prayer, and Christian honor, and all these things, spirit of honor. And you take all this you're getting, and there's a whole lot, No, but yet, whenever God needs something for you to do, you can pull back out your spirit with a hand for prayer.
Yeah.
This is what you need. You can help somebody. Now, you change the thing, and then all this put together, man, boy, you got to change the world, man. Come on, man. So, well, we begin to learn how to pray and pray properly and get heaven involved and become praying men and women of God, we can change this whole society. See, the problem has been me and a man of God were talking, and the thing we must understand is you cannot legislate the heart. Voting ain't going to do no good. It's going to take praying men and women of God to change things. See, if you get mad about fame, sex, marriage, and all this stuff go, that don't bother me. Knock yourself out. Go ahead. Why? The Bible says what happened anyway. So why am I going to try to stop something that God said is going to happen? So we're going to pass along, stop it. No, let them go and do what they do. See, I don't even know what they get that hiding. I don't want to hide in the bushes on me. You know, but it's about no shoulders. I want them to see you.
Yeah.
All right. Come on with the cross. Right, no year. I knew it. Because we need two folks. Listen, in this day and time, we need praying men and women of God to give themselves to the greatest task on earth. You know what that is? Prayer. You want to be a great title? You ain't got to be the apostle. You ain't got to be the bishop. You ain't got to be the master prophet, all the other kind of things people come up with. You ain't got to have that. You want a title? What you with? Prayer. I got the greatest job in the body of Christ. What you do? Pray. Because it's the way of pain is going to change the pain. But see, we don't see that as significant. I want Mike. You don't want that mic. You think you want that mic. You don't want that mic. You don't want a phone. No phone. I try to be greedy. I got 2 men already. Good. You want a prayer going, you better go and pray. Look, I'm telling you, prayer is the thing to do, man. All right. But when you are a true prayer, watch it here. It demands your time. It's the manager of your time. It demands your attention. Oh, yes, sir. You know in the army? When the captain or sergeant or lieutenant, somebody walk in, the leader of that group, they holler, attention! I mean, I'm looking. That's why we got to be prepared. You wake up, I think the prophet said it earlier, the video he's talking about. When you wake up, they say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I want you today. Thank you for giving me life. You know, when you wake up, it's attention time. It ain't time to complain about getting up. But the man says, hey, let the man say, Lord, thank you that I woke up this morning. But my name's getting the dictionary sick. But I want to sign on the pulling thing. You got to wake up and say, Lord, thank you. You better get attention to prayer, man. I'm telling you. It's not the time. You ain't cold outside. You already know it's going to be cold when you went to bed. So go and get all your stuff together for the morning. You know, set your foot out the next cup of beer or something. Be cool when we warm. I'm trying to give you something. You got to put your attention on prayer when you get along, I'm trying to say. Prayer demands your time, demands your attention, and watch it here. It must be wholehearted. You got to put your heart in it. Now, prayer has so much power to it, more than man would ever realize. But with all the power that prayer brings, watch this here, many men and women of God have quit praying. What I say they did, they what? Quit praying. You see? And I told you, when we were talking about earlier, most of the time, people only want to pray for the culture when destruction is hit. Everybody want to pray when a kind of goal born under. When every Democrat 20-degree apart or whatever, what they be dealing with. Now we want to say, we need to pray for the nation. Well, you should have been praying. You understand? You know, When the child got to come out, let's pray. When they're about to blow something up, let's pray. When there's a tragedy in our community, Lord, a child got killed or something happened, Lord, let's pray. Like it's something you do on occasion. You understand? You have to give attention to prayer. Watch this here. But you can't be biased in your prayer. I'm going to say, you can't be biased when you pray. I'm going to say, when we had a family president, everybody, even people, got it, let's pray for our president. Now, if everybody says, let's pray about nothing. Anybody find a friend? Anybody says, we need to pray? All we say is, we need to get him out. We need to change. I don't feel all the stuff to be saying. Say anybody pray about? All right. Without a prayer, we quit praying. We become too busy with our everyday lives. And it's sad to say, we only pray when distress and deception is present. Write it down, you will see it again. Few men expand themselves in great prayer. Few men expend themselves in great prayer. Let me tell you something that has happened to prayer. Prayer has become third. Now, I'm going to give you this minute, too, but I got to go because I got to get in here. I got to punch that clock. I got to get my coffee, get my desk, get my computer on. It takes time for it to load. Then I got to get this stuff in. I got to put these batteries load in, Lord. Then I got to go to lunch and all that stuff. It's heavy. Even if you're ready to eat, good food, good meat, good garlic, thank you. It's a fat food, man. You know, that big day, good time. Good food, good meat, good garlic, let's eat. What a prayer. But I'm saying, this is how hurt we have become. We've become hurt, something even in bad. But when you pray, cover. You know what? I don't know what I'm saying. Anybody? Yeah, bring the straw for you. No! Bind your head! Look at him! Can't stop praying for this thing, Lord. Stop doing it there. What is he doing? Lord, that's the thing that makes the bed in place. Don't pray for him, Lord. May the food be good in my presence, Lord. You understand that? You're praying, you can't be afraid, man. But it's become so hard. All right? Prayer has become petty to many people. That's bad. Petty? Petty. Let them call a meeting. Oh, I'm going. Are you going to the thing? Yeah, I'm going. It's a certain place going to be. I'm going. Where they got the conference? Certain place going to be out of Dallas. Oh, girl, I'm going. That's the pastor call. We got a prayer meeting Friday night. They call. Well, Lord, I don't know about that one. You know, the game on or something. I got to do something. It's Friday night. See, things petty come out to pray on Friday night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got better things to do than just pray on Friday night. No, I'm not going to kill you. My hand is an answer. Hope y'all see that in there. What's wrong with the Lord? The third thing that happens when you don't pray properly, watch this here. Prayer becomes starved. Prayer has been hurried, prayer has become petty, and prayer has been starved. Say starved. Now, the best way I can describe it, because my body offers that way, try to get back right, get back in the gym, you gotta eat now, kind of crazy stuff. But one thing I hate doing is trying to lose my feet. Doctor told me this, and I thought it was so crazy. He said, you know why he's not losing weight? I can tell you why. I said, because I eat the right thing. He said, no, that's part of the problem, but your biggest problem is, he said, you told me, you don't eat breakfast. I don't like eating breakfast. I'm not a breakfast man. I just don't like breakfast. But he said, watch this. He said, but that's bad because you're starving your body. Now, watch what he's saying now. He said, because when you starve your body, at a certain point of the day, your body going to begin to start feeling some way, and it gets hungry. Right? And 9 times 10, if you're at work, or you doing something, You're not going to cook the steamed broccoli, salmon, drink a cup of water, and eat some nice soup on the side. 9 times out of 10, you go in the Jack in the Box, get the American Jack double cheese, turn the fries, and a Diet Coke. My point is this, though. Because you have not put the proper nutrition in your body in the morning, watch this here. Your food will take in junk. Your body will take in junk. It's over to junk now. You're going to eat junk food. So look, watch this now. If you're not praying properly, right, now you're going to listen to the wrong person. Listen to the wrong word. That junk now is getting your system. So now you can't hear from God properly because you're full of junk. So now when the two word comes, you can't hear properly. Yes, Lord. It's hurry, prayer becomes hurry, petty, storm. Now watch this here. It also will come bitterly. You start to breathe. Lord Jesus, me. I know you ain't heard from me in a while, but I'm here, Lord. I need you to mend that out. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay you tomorrow, but I need you to do something for me. Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm serious. People start begging because they don't know what else to do. And prayer is not designed to be a, it's not something you do, it's not something you do. It's because, I hear the word, say covenant. Because I'm in covenant with God, because I got the blood of Jesus passed into the cross, because that cross drew blood on me. I may not be telling you, I got that blood for me to give it to God. That blood on me, when I come in prayer, I will come with confidence and boldness and say, Lord, this is your son, brother. Lord, I need you. See, I come with that boldness and confidence. I ain't begging, you know, you got to do it, Lord. I heard the man of God, he said, well, tell you, Lord, you ain't do it. Even tell the folk you ain't do it. There ain't no begging for you. You got to go to that bill, boy. Lord, it's me. Here we are again. Y'all can't do it. If you don't get me through something, it won't get done. And Lord, I serve you. Lord, I'm a father. Lord, I'm a four. I support your apostle. I support that ministry. What you want to do about this situation? See, everybody got to be in prayer. Well, I said, that's what I just did. I'm grumbling for. I need something, Lord. I should ask you for something here. I was there. I'm telling you, I was right there. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. What we need is better prayer. We need better prayer. We don't need more promises. We don't need more meetings. We don't need more programs. What we need is more prayer. What we need is more holy men and women of God on this face of earth. We need more sanctified, consecrated, dedicated men and women of God in prayer. That's what we need. Hallelujah. All right? We need men and women of God who know how to get into the presence of the Most High. Boy, that's the most valuable thing, boy, you can ever have in your life. See, that's why I give God my leadership. Because he helps me. He teaches us how to get in God's presence. Hallelujah. See, can I tell you a secret? What most pastors do, I'm exposing tonight. This EWITC exposing tonight. Listen. Most preachers, listen to me now, want you to become dependent upon it. But when you get a true man or woman of God, they want you to have to depend on God for yourself. See, you can preach it always, but let me talk to you. Come see me, come talk to me. Oh, you can't mess like that. You want a man of God, say, what you want? Pray it, Pastor. You didn't hear what I said, Sunday? Go back and listen to the tape. Pick God for yourself. You're asking that Sunday. Y'all go home and rest. See, that ain't what you need. You don't need a person who always wants you depending upon them. Because you're not getting your God. unwillingly, but you will. All right. Prayerlessness is banishment from God's kingdom. In other words, when you don't pray, what you're really doing is banishing yourself from God's kingdom. I think somewhere in that book I read the statement, he said, it is a high crime. It's a constitutional breach when you don't pray. A high crime, a constitutional breach. But I want to change that with the help of the Holy Ghost. It's not just a constitution, because I think that word, to me, the word constitutional is too intertwined with world. But when you don't pray, I hear the Holy Spirit tell me this. It's a covenant breach. You're breaching the covenant when you don't pray. Because when Jesus died, go back to that cross, when he died on that cross, it gave you, and the Bible said, it gave you the right and access to come to God in prayer. But when you don't pray, you're breaking that covenant, you're breaching that covenant that Jesus Christ died for on that cross. Well, that's a serious stuff. When you, I hear you, Lord, when you don't pray, you deny the power of the cross. On the spot. And I heard it. You deny the power of the cross when you don't pray. Because him dying gave me access to pray. You don't have to go through man no more. You ain't got to go through the priest. You ain't got to sacrifice nothing. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. I'm coming in the blood. Who's Jesus? I feel like singing. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. For me, God, you dog boy. What was I could sing? That's why I can't sing, though. He know I'll be too busy singing. All right? Christians who refuse to pray will eventually lose their zeal. They will eventually lose their zeal. Watch this here. That they once possessed. So see, when we first got saved, boy, we was on top. But we was in love with our first love, Jesus Christ, boy. You couldn't tell. Boy, look, we was in it. We was reading every book on prayer, confessing everything. But after a while, you know, well, I lose. You just lost that fire. And when you lost that fire, you lose that zeal. And God can't speak as you want. Listen to me. A minister that doesn't pray cannot maintain vital piety. In other words, they're not important no more. Now I understand, well, how can you have a church that's 120 years old, Robert, 120 years old, and you still got the same 24 people? Because see what happens, the 12 that were there, now they had kids, and their kids grew up in the church. And everybody in the church related. You ain't got no visitors. And then when you do get visitors, you run them off. Because they want to get involved. They want to help things. You can't sing, but that's my song. Lord Jesus. So what happens, they lose. Oh, Lord. They lose their vital piety. I saw something, I lost it, but they're going to bring it back. That ministry will be powerless and will not be able to advance the gospel. Because see, that ministry knows nothing about prayer. All they know is how to have faith. And politics. And religion. You see? And I know one of the greatest things about this ministry is, I'm telling you, it's very few churches I know they would have 200 people out on any night just for prayer. I'm telling you. I've traveled, I've been to places, I've went different places, and it's very few places I've seen that you can get 300 people in one place, not for a singing, not for a concert, not for a dance, but our objective is to come here and get the presence of God. I believe, I know, that's one of the reasons why the power of God here is so strong. Everything is prayer-based. Yeah. The pastor don't move unless he prayed about it. So once he prayed about it, he don't care who don't like it. If God tells him to do it, He's going to do it. He could be watching or listening right now, and God telling me that he ain't getting bad no more. He come in, yes, sir. I know I'm going. Because he's going to do what God tells him to plan. Because he does, he has success. That's the same way he wants us to be. You got to be God. You got to be God for yourself. When God say move, move. But you can only see him when you pray. And if you're not praying, you're not going to know who's talking to you. So when you do start praying and trying to make a decision, you don't know who wants you listening to. Lord, that's you. So now you got to have somebody and say, if you call me, no, I ain't calling you. Go back. It was the Lord. You will see this again. Praying women and children are invaluable to God. Praying women and children are invaluable to God. But if their praying is not supplemented by praying men, there will be a great loss in the power of prayer. You see that? Men who are strong in everything else ought to be strong in prayer. And never yield to before I go there. It says, I like to say, it says, but if their praying is not supplemented by a praying by praying men. By who? Let me tell you something. And I tell young brothers all the time, don't be telling about you the head of your house, I run my house, if you ain't a praying husband. Just be quiet. Don't let it kick me off more than Lord Jesus. Than a woman having to run her house. Because a man won't get a backbone to stand up. Oh, yes, sir. Let's deal with it, man. I love my papa. Oh, no. See, that's why when I found that pastor, I knew he was my man because I can't call no pope. I'm telling you, I had to have a man who would grab you to my. Oh, okay, I respect you. All right. But see, because we can do it there. You know what I'm saying? So I had somebody just as tall as me. And I never did. I knew he was my man. I said, yeah, that's the man right there. When he said one thing, he said, you win, beat me. He said, when you with your wife, don't always tell her she will tell you where you're going. They said, good time, we're going this way. He said, I don't care if you're going. I don't care where you're going. We're going another way. Good time, we're going another way. But see, the point is, you've got to be a man. But you don't just love your wife and your children, they don't care. You should have got some football games. No, you need to be leading prayer up in your house. Let your kids see you come here and say, no, you don't get to the game, but right now, we're going to play the game, right? Cut the game off. Boy, your wife respects you, your kids will respect you, man. Your God will respect you. And now, if you were given a point, something will happen in your house. And your husband, he will right there and say, today, that's my king right there. Baby, that's what I'm dealing with. You need to have baby God. I got it, baby. That ball. I'm like a man right now. Listen, but why does he want men to pray? I'm going to just say here. There are two reasons why he's attacking men. Number one, he don't want men to pray, and he's attacking men because men carry the name. One of the greatest things a man wants to do is to pass on his name. Alright? That's why it was so important in the Bible days where you had to have a son, he kept your lineage going. He keeps your name going. That's why the apostle got these boys by here. He wants them grandkids, but the name Thompson will keep ringing through generation to generation to generation. Or whatever your last name is. Now watch this here. He's attacking men. That's why men going to jail with black wife is attacking men in the name. But it's another thing he's attacking too. This poor Lord, but we're gonna keep this later on somewhere down the line. He wants to see. That's a whole other subject, but he wants to see. Because that's why he's trying to get homosexuality to run rampant, because if Jesus had mercy. But see what we could do. See, you don't want to pray a man, I'm telling you now. These are the men who can pray. See, women don't pray, but they are naturally spiritually sensitive to God. They can hear, they don't hear. But a man, you just hang with them all day. But God loves men. And God can only get men to start praying. But we don't get men to come together and pray like we watch a football game. We gonna come together. Like we got that band, the crowd. Whatever you have to do, well, men hang out and we can just get men to take our money through a prayer like that, bro. Man, we can say something. Hallelujah. Well, Lord Jesus. What are you talking about prayer, man? When you are a prayer, you will never have discouragement. Because you know God won't show up. I can't be discouraged. I just told you to be in the past, when you're praying, you know what? You're out. Yeah. So don't see me get discouraged, so I know I'm out. You don't have to stand up against me still. Wow. Never said it could one go far.
Yeah.
When you are too prayer, watch this here. You will never experience weakness. And you will never experience oppression. You will be full of courage, control, strength, and health. All right. Write it down. You're going to see this again. Prayer is a transcendent importance, for it is the mightiest agent to advance God's work. Prayer is of transcendent importance, for it is the mightiest agent to advance God's work. So write this down. You're going to see this. Prayer succeeds when all that fails. Hallelujah. Prayer succeeds with all that fails. See, the cause of God has no commercial age, no culture age, no age of education, no age of money. It has one golden age, and that is the age of prayer. So you can teach your child right now to pray. Well, think about this. Now, you pass this on to your family now, your nieces, your nephews, your sons, your daughters. They get this. Imagine if you just teach this to them right now, the importance of prayer. You know what people are saying? They weren't worried about school shooting and everything. God bless all those who have lost their lives and their families. But you took God out of his business. God said, you don't want me involved, I won't get involved. But then with the problem, now you won't pray. So you're still fighting now. Listen to this. If we want to be much with God, we must be much with God. I like that. If you want to be much for God, we must be much with God. Go to Joshua. Joshua 5. Joshua 5. I want you to see something. I started studying this, but I didn't get a real deep into it, but I got close enough to want to give you these little nuggets of this tonight. Write this statement down before we get ready to close. I will do this. The number of efficiency of God's labors in the land is depending on the men of prayer. The number of efficiency of God's laborers in all lands is depending on the men of prayer. Now the scripture has come alive to me today. And then go to Joshua 5. You should be at Joshua 5. When the Bible says, the harvest is plentiful, but the... I understand who the laborers are now. There's some prayer folk. See, when I told you, God, there's unlimited storehouses, and God's hand is open. You understand? He said, the harvest is plentiful, It's somewhere back there, but the labels are. So I understand that because people love going to church. People love coming to church. People give. But when they come to pray, the labels are clear. Very few people want to pray. But that's where the real reward is at. Start as we close, ready to close here. Joshua, as we were talking yesterday, I was talking about people who pray. And the Lord told me, a lot of times people don't realize that Joshua was a real prayer. A lot of times we read about Joshua and just hit him ball, Moses, and we see other things. You know, he's a soldier, he's a fighter, and all that good stuff. But there's a scripture over here, Joshua 5. And I'm going to quote it right here. I want you to see it. I'm going to deal with it later on. As long as we're here, most talk to you about it. But Joshua 5 and 13. And it's good to do some fighting and all this kind of stuff. And it says, and it came to pass, Joshua 5 and 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, art thou for us or for the adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, now I come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship and said to him, what says the Lord to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe off thy foot and place where the standards in the holy is holy. And Joshua did so. Let me go back and read it. But I want you to pay close attention to two things here that I think I thought about this scripture. First of all, Joshua was a prayer. What was he? How do I know he's a prayer? Look what verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Look what the Bible said he did. So he lifted up his eyes. Apparently, he must have been down. Apparently, he getting ready for this battle. He must have been in prayer. And then the Bible said he opened his eyes. He lifted up. He saw the angel of the Lord. Now, some people say that was just an angel. I'm here to tell you that was Jesus. Well, I got time to do it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to read it back and find it for you and show it to you. But angels cannot be worshipped.
Yeah,
you're right. There's a scripture that said when they had to walk a phone, he tried to worship the angel. No, don't do it. You want to worship God. You can listen to the scripture here in verse 14. It says, and Joshua fell on his face on earth and did worship and said to him, who said thou, Lord, to his servant? The captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, he didn't tell him about the worship. He just told him what to do. God Almighty. So two things. One, he was a prayer because he lifted up his eyes. Two, Jesus showed up on the scene when he was praying. Y'all have a good night.